at now. And he had the opportunity to come and just thank you guys for your prayers and cards and support. And the next morning after he spoke here, the day he was about to leave, we had breakfast together. And I think Larry had just started Leviticus the day before. And he said, God bless Larry for preaching through Leviticus, because that is a tough book to preach through. And I think it's been a great time studying Leviticus. And if there's one thing I take from Leviticus, it is thank the Lord for Jesus Christ, because he has paid the price. He is the final sacrifice. And it seemed like for weeks on end, we talked about sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. And the whole idea is Jesus is the final sacrifice. Today, we're going to look in Philippians for just a moment. Our key verse is going to be in Philippians chapter 4. But we're actually going to look through the book of Acts a little bit more than Philippians. But I want to talk today about about worshiping in all circumstances, about being content in the place where God puts us and worshiping him no matter where we are, no matter what struggles or hardships or victories or whatever we may be going through, but that we would have a heart of worship wherever we are in all things. As Pastor Larry has already prayed, I'm going to get right into the word this morning. And my key verse will be Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. And this is Paul speaking. He says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." You know, that last verse is a very famous verse. A lot of people claim that verse for their life verse. I can do all things through him, or through Christ who strengthens me. I'm noticing the context, though, that it's not necessarily I can do all things, like I can hit a baseball through Christ who strengthens me, or I can do well on a test through Christ who strengthens me, or whatever little small situation we may be in. I mean, yes, the Lord is with us in all situations, but today we're going to talk about how, in context, this verse is no matter where God places you in life, he sees us through, and his purpose works in the heart and in the lives of all believers for his glory. We can endure and we can flourish in all things when we live in Christ, who strengthens us as believers. And I think and I feel like the Bible teaches that for us to be able to live in Christ successfully, to endure and to be content, as Paul talks about, we have to strive to have a heart of worship in all situations, the good and the bad in life. As I said, Paul wrote the book of Philippians. And whenever I read this passage, I'm always drawn back to 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul actually talks about a handful of the hardships, the struggles he went through as he took the message of the Lord to the nations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28, he says, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." I want to pause right there and encourage you guys to pray for your pastor. Now, your pastor cares about you. He cares about the spiritual well-being of the people here at Piney Grove. And it is a burden on pastors when we see people in our church struggling, whether it be struggling in sin or in just the everyday living of life. And I can tell you, Pastor Larry genuinely cares about the spiritual well-being of each individual person here at Piney Grove. So pray for him. Pray for him daily. Verses 32 and 33, it says, "At Damascus, the governor under the king Artius was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in a wall and escaped his hands." We'll look here at a few of these things Paul was talking about, some of these trials that he went through while he was taking the gospel to the known world at the time. We'll see how Paul, through having a continual heart of worship, was able to endure and persevere and continue on the mission that God had placed him on. One of the things that we will see in these times of persecution is that he continues to worship God despite his circumstances. He stays on mission. So I want to start this morning looking through the life of Paul in the book of Acts. We'll be in chapter 8 in just a moment. We were going to look at the conversion of Paul to start with. As we know, Paul was also known as Saul. That was his name, was Saul. When we first come across him in chapter 7 of the book of Acts, he is referred to as Saul. We see him at the stoning of Stephen. The follower of Jesus, who full of the Holy Spirit in front of the Jewish leaders, called out the Jewish leaders for their failure to follow God's leading, and really the whole Jewish nation all throughout history. Stephen lays out all the times when God was working through the history of Israel, and all of the times where the Jewish leaders just refused to listen to God's will and were stubborn and would not go where God was calling them. And of course, as we know, these are the same people who had Jesus crucified. So when they were called out on their stubbornness, they were angry. They had Stephen stoned. And it says there at the end of chapter 7 that they laid their robes at Saul's feet as they stoned Stephen. And then we pick it up in chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." So Saul was watching what happened to Stephen, and he approved. It's interesting to think about how Saul thought that he was doing God's will. As we read through the Bible, we know that Saul was a great a Jew. I think he calls himself the Jew of the Jews. He knew the law. He followed the law. He wanted to do God's will. And in trying to squash this Jesus movement, he thought he was in God's will. Saul was doing what his culture, his religious culture, had taught him was right. In his mind, he was standing up for God. See, we better take great care and great caution when we feel the need to take a stand. It's important to take a stand on God's word. But we better take great caution anytime we take a stand. Does this cause line up with Scripture? Over the course of modern church history, there have been some stances that some churches have taken that certainly don't line up with Scripture, that don't bring honor to Christ. Stances like race. Historically, in modern history, the church has struggled with the issue of race and who we should let in our doors. Thank the Lord, Piney Grove doesn't seem to be that way. Sometimes the church has struggled with what we should wear to church and how we look at people when they come in the door dressed a little bit differently. Of course, in the 90s, the worship wars caused a lot of hateful things to be said back and forth in church over style of worship. I pray that that doesn't happen here at Piney Grove as we begin to evaluate our worship. And the reason I say that is the world is watching. The world is watching. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people, when asked to come to church. As a matter of fact, one this week who mentioned something that happened years and years ago in the church as a reason why they don't want to come back because of the way the people in that church act. Don't let that be said of us. Don't let that be said of us. The world is watching. When we take a stand on something, let's make sure it lines up with the Bible. Now, there are plenty of things going on in the world right now where we need to take a stand. As Pastor Larry said just a few weeks ago, in the news right now, you've heard in Alabama what's going on with the law to abolish abortion, and that's great. And we need to take a stand on that. The unborn can't defend themselves, and God has made it clear that life is precious. That lines up with the Bible. Take a stand. But when we do that, we have to remember what God said, what was commanded to us in 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. When we take a stand, we need to make sure first it lines up with the Bible. And then we need to remember that God loves whoever we are debating. And we need to have gentleness and respect and show them the love of Christ. Back to Saul. Saul was, as the Bible puts it, ravaging the church and thinking that he was doing so in God's will. But let's look what it says here in Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way or Christians, men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven was shown around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter to the city. You will be told what you are to do. It tells us as we read on that Paul was blinded for a few days, that when this light and this voice spoke to him, when he heard Jesus speak to him, the men that were with him could hear but did not see the light, and they led him to Damascus. And while he was there, the Lord spoke separately to a disciple named Ananias, and Ananias was obedient to what God called him to do. He spoke to Paul, he laid hands on him and baptized him. And down in verse 19, it says, For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of all those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. See, there was a radical change in his life when he encountered the risen Lord. Though he was physically blinded for a time, God was healing his spiritual blindness. For the first time, Paul was truly in right standing with God. You see, for every believer, there's a time in your life where you realize your brokenness over sin. You realize that because of sin in our lives, we are separated from God, that we are in utter lostness and desperation. But when we surrender to Jesus Christ and believe in his death on the cross, he changes us. He changes us. We see in the book of Acts that symbolically, Saul's name is changed to Paul as a way to represent that change. You see, Saul had heritage. Saul had history. He was the Jew of Jews. But Paul had forgiveness. Paul had restoration. And when that happens, the heart overflows with worship. When we remember what Jesus has done, the heart overflows with worship, no matter where we are, no matter what circumstance we are in. Verses 23 and 25. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through through an opening in the wall, lowering him in the basket. This is one of the trials that he mentioned there in 2 Corinthians. But this was just the beginning for Paul. This was just the beginning of persecution that he would face as he served the Lord Jesus. But he was changed by the person of Jesus Christ. I can imagine Paul, as he preached in the synagogue, having a song on his voice, something that might would sound like, God is so good. I can imagine as he was lowered in the basket, God is so good. As he's rejoicing about how God saved him, God is so good. He is so good to me. I'm going to take a moment and look at just a couple of more times where Saul faced persecution. But because of what Jesus had done in his life, because of that change, he endured, he persevered, and through all these things, he remained on the course of what God had called him to do. Acts 14, we see where Paul faces stoning. Paul went on 3 missionary journeys to take the gospel to the world. Much of the New Testament is a result of these journeys where Paul wrote to the churches that were planted on his mission work. Through God's sovereignty, he went to many places, planted churches, and the message went to the known world. In Acts 13 and 14, Paul goes on mission with Barnabas. And this happens from the leading of the Holy Spirit to the people of the church who commissioned Paul and Barnabas to go on mission. They go to places such as Cyprus, Antioch, and Iconium, preaching the synagogues, the Jewish synagogues, and the places they go to on this particular trip. Many believed, but they also faced some persecution. In Iconium, they attempted to stone him, and then he moved to a place called Lystra. In verse 8 of chapter 14, we see it says, Now at Lystra there was a man sitting there who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul looked intently at him, seeing that he had faith to be made well. He said in a loud voice, Stand upright on your feet. And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, In Lyconian, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. So the people saw Paul heal this man in the name of Jesus, and then they tried to proclaim that Paul himself was God. Now, something that a missionary, a pastor, anyone in ministry, something that they have to do from time to time is dispel heresy, dispel false belief, and that is tough. That usually causes some persecution, some struggle, because people don't like to be told that they are wrong. And of course, when these people started proclaiming God, or Paul and Barnabas as God, they had to dispel that heresy and point to Jesus as Lord. It says in verse 15, Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then down in verse 19 it says, But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. So these Jews actually had followed him from the place that he came from before. They were already, had been risen up against Paul and ran him out of those towns in Iconium and Antioch. And they came and persuaded these people in Lystra, and they stoned Paul, and they thought he was dead. In verse 20 it says, But when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. He rose up and went on. He continued. He faced what he saw Stephen go through that led to Stephen's death, the stoning. He faced that, was battered and bruised, but continued on the mission God had called him to. Through that persecution, I could see Paul singing. I'll do His will. As He continued the mission, bruised and battered, I'll do His will. As He boldly continued to preach the word, I'll do His will. He's so good to me. When faced with persecution and hardship, worship is a gift that helps remind us of our joy and purpose in Christ. I can't tell you how many times when I've been in a place where I was struggling, where I turn on the radio and just sing a song that lifts up the Lord, or pick up my guitar and just sing to the Lord, and how through that the Holy Spirit lifts me, lifts my spirits to continue to endure, to do what God has called me to do, just as a Christian, also as a pastor, but just in the everyday Christian life. God gives us worship. It's not something we're supposed to do only on Sunday morning. We come together here for corporate worship, but we should have a heart of worship in all things. All of our life should be about being on mission for God. One more hardship, one more trial that Paul went through, I want to look at real quickly, is in Acts chapter 16. On Paul's second mission journey. He traveled to some of the same areas as he did in the first. And Timothy was with him, joined him on some of this trip. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, they altered the location that they were going. You know, sometimes we have plans that we've made, and it's important as a church, as a ministry, to plan well and prepare well. But it's also equally important to be open, to be flexible, because sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us in another direction. And sometimes that's just simply to remind us that God's way is the best way. And it's important to be open to God's leading. They were planning on going one place, but the Holy Spirit told them they needed to head to Macedonia instead. And while they were there, that we see the conversion of Lydia, who, when she was converted to Christ, invited them to stay in that area for a while. And in verse 16, we pick up as it says, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And she kept doing this for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned to her and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrate, they said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Two things here. First, following Christ requires sacrifice. If we follow Christ and we are obedient to His leading, there will be times in all of our lives where we will face sacrifice, where we will face persecution. Notice how no one had a problem with their message until there was some change involved, some cost involved. That particular cost here was someone lost their source of income. They had this lady who, through the work of a spirit, could tell the future, and they were using that for personal gain. They didn't have a problem, or it doesn't seem like they had a problem with the preaching until they lost their source of income. Sometimes following God requires sacrifice. Sometimes being obedient requires sacrifice. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look how Paul and Silas respond to persecution. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourselves, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. The way that we respond to persecution and hardships is one of the greatest witnesses a believer can have to this world. You see, Paul and Silas could have sat in that jail, could have sat in that prison and felt sorry for themselves and questioned why God was allowing this to happen. But instead, they were worshiping God. They were praising God. And because of that, the jailer and his family and whoever else came to know the Lord. You see, how we respond to perseverance, how we respond to hardship is a great witness to those around us. I can hear Paul and Silas as they're in that prison singing, "I'll praise his name." When the prison burst open and the doors swung free and their chains fell, "I'll praise his name." When the jailer and the jailer's family were saved, "I'll praise his name. He's so good to me." Paul would face many more hardships as he would go on preaching God's word, taking the message of the gospel to the nations. He would be beaten. He would be held captive, shipwrecked, snake bitten, placed under house arrest. And while he was under house arrest, he wrote many of the New Testament books that we have. But you see, he persevered through all of these trials because he had Jesus. As it says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." When we face and experience trials in our life, we can realize that God sees us through them. It helps if we praise God in all circumstances. If we make a practice of having worship in our hearts always, every day, whether we're at church, at home, at work, at school, if we make a practice of having a heart of worship, when we face trials, when we face change, when we face hardship, we will be able to endure those things, to persevere, as Paul said, because we can do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, life is sometimes hard. It's easy when life is hard to play the victim, to blame others, to blame or question God. But instead of blame, I challenge us to look to God for his working through our hardships, and then to worship him through that. Paul took the gospel to the nations, much of that through hardship. He did have a lot of success and a lot of great times as well. But much of the times where the New Testament church really took the gospel to the world, which is what we are all called to do as Christians, was through times of trial and hardship. One great way to refocus on God when life is hard is to sing a song, to worship, to pray, and to be in God's word. You see, I have a saying that me and a friend of mine from college would say a lot, especially during tough times. We would say, "It's all good." And even when it's not, it's still all good. And that was based off of Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." For the child of God, whatever you are going through, God is going to work that out for the good of His purpose. We may not see that on this side of eternity, but some way or another, God is using whatever you may be going through for good. There at the end of Romans 8, it says, "For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Remember what God has done for you. If you know Him, He has saved you from utter darkness and lostness and an eternity separated from Him in a place called hell. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. Maybe you've never experienced that brokenness over sin in your life, how sin has separated you from God. How, as it says in Romans, the wages of sin is death, eternal death and separation. But the gift of God is salvation through Christ Jesus. Maybe that's you today. I challenge you, if that's you, make today the day of salvation. Come to Christ. In just a few moments, Pastor Larry will be down here to pray with you if you want to receive Christ today. Maybe as we've seen here the last few weeks in our church, maybe you were baptized at a young age, but you really didn't know what you were doing. And later in life, you became a follower of Jesus, and you want to make that right. Talk to one of us about that today. We would love to see God continue to work in that way here at Piney Grove. But however God is dealing with you today, I want you to know that whatever you are going through, Christ is with you. Christ has a purpose for it. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us if we have a continual heart of worship and if we just trust in Him. You see, worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a path to that contentment that Paul was talking about. It reminds us of what Christ has done, where He has brought us from. Because of these things, worship produces contentment in whatever we face. So I challenge us as we get ready to evaluate worship over the next month to make it a point of priority in our life this month, to wherever we are in our everyday life, to strive to have a heart of worship. Strive to see your daily life through the lens of how is God working here, and then praise God for what He has done in your life. And as we come in every Sunday, come in just ready to worship God freely as we come in into these services in June. Ready to worship Him freely. Put aside any doubts or questions you may have and just come and worship freely. And then at the end of the month, seek God's leadership on where He would have Piney Grove go. Not our will, not our preferences, but what God would have for Piney Grove. So as I pray, Pastor Larry is going to come and close us. Lord, we thank You for Your word. I thank You that we can see through the life of Paul how, Lord, even through trial and hardship, that You call us to worship You in all circumstances. Lord, You promise us through Your word that we can endure all things, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, I pray that worship would be something that would be on our hearts to lead us to that place of contentment, that place of perseverance. I thank You for Jesus and His death on the cross. I thank You that because of His sacrifice, we are made right with a holy God. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that you may be speaking to, Lord, that they would get it right with You today, that they wouldn't leave here without being able to say, "I have surrendered to Jesus Christ." And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Anyone here today and doesn't know Christ, put your thumb and pray with me today. And maybe the Lord is giving you.